you have seen our nativity at the front of the church, our nativity scene. We have all the traditional figures present, Mary, Joseph, the angel. And you probably haven't noticed, but there have been a few figures that have been missing, the wise men. And if you've been paying attention, they've been in the windows of our church, slowly making their journey to Bethlehem, to the creche. Has anybody noticed each week the little wise men in the window? A couple? Maybe you wondered what that was all about. Well, we were kind of symbolically showing how the wise men traveled to see baby Jesus, the newborn king in Bethlehem. And so today is Epiphany Sunday, the day on the church calendar where we traditionally celebrate the arrival of the wise men at the manger in Bethlehem to see Jesus. And we have our wise men present there. Traditionally, Epiphany is celebrated on January 6th. Some Christian traditions actually celebrate what we think of as Christmas on that day. Now, traditionally, there are three wise men in a nativity scene, although Matthew's gospel doesn't actually specify how many wise men there were, so historically, we don't know the exact number. But traditionally, the number three has been used, probably because of the three gifts the wise men presented to Jesus, the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh. And popular carols like We Three Kings have emphasized this as well. Well, something interesting happened this year when we were taking out of the box the nativity pieces to set them up. We noticed that there was an extra wise man, a fourth wise man, that didn't seem to go with the original set. We're not sure where he came from or how he came to be in our manger, but we've decided to kind of include him on the journey. And as I was thinking about the fourth wise man, if you will, did you know that there's a story about the fourth wise man and what it might have been like had there been a fourth wise man and what his journey would have been like? So I'm going to set him here while I tell this story. Have any of you heard the story of the other wise man? Kind of a fun couple people. So this is a fictional account imagining the adventures of a fourth wise man who was on a lifelong quest to find Jesus and pay him homage. And the story takes some very interesting twists and turns and provides a powerful lesson about what it means to worship Jesus in our world. So today on this Epiphany Sunday, because we have our fourth wise man, I am going to share the story, or at least a condensed retelling of the story of the fourth wise man. So this is based on the story of the other wise men that was originally written by Henry Van Dyke and has been retold in various forms. So today is a compilation of that, a retelling of Van Dyke's story. So the story of the fourth wise man. The other wise man's name was Artaban. He was one of the Magi, and he lived in Persia. He was a man of great wealth and great learning and great faith. With his learned companions, he had searched the scriptures and found the time that the Savior should be born. And they knew that a new star would appear, and it was agreed between them that Artaban would watch from Persia, and the others would observe the sky from Babylon. And on the night he believed the sign was to be given, Artaban went out to his roof to watch the night sky. If the star appears, they will wait for me 10 days, and then they will all set out for Jerusalem. I have made ready for the journey by selling all of my possessions, and I have bought 3 jewels, a sapphire, a ruby, and a pearl, and I intend to present them as tribute to the king. So he watched as an azure spark was born out of darkness, rounding itself with a splendor into a crimson sphere. Artaban bowed his head. It is the sign. The king is coming, and I will go to meet him. The swiftest of Artaban's horses had been waiting, saddled and bridled in her stall, pawing the ground impatiently. She shared the eagerness of her master's purpose. As Artaban placed himself on her back, He said, God bless us both from falling and our souls from death. And they began their journey. Each faithful day, his horse measured off the allotted proportion of the distance. And at nightfall on the 10th day, they approached the outskirts of Babylon, a little island and a desert of palm trees. Artaban's horses scented difficulty and slackened her pace. Then she stood still, quivering with every muscle. Artaban had dismounted. The dim starlight revealed a man lying in the roadway. His skin bore the mark of a deadly fever. The chill of death was in his lean hand. As Artaban turned to go, a sigh came from the sick man's lips. Artaban felt sorry that he could not stay and minister to the dying stranger. But this was the hour toward which his entire life had been devoted. He could not forfeit the reward of his years of study and faith to do a single deed of human mercy. But then how could he leave his fellow man alone to die? God of truth and mercy, prayed Artaban, direct me in the path of wisdom which only thou knowest. And then he knew he could not go on. The Magi were physicians as well as astrologers, and he took off his robe and began his work of healing. Several hours later, the patient regained consciousness. Artaban gave him all that was left of his bread and wine and left a portion of the healing herbs and instructions for his care. Then Artaban rode with great haste the rest of the way. It was after dawn that he arrived at his designated meeting place, but his friends were nowhere to be seen. Finally, his eyes caught a piece of parchment to attract his attention. It said, "We have waited till past midnight and can delay no longer. We go to find the king. Follow us across the desert." Artaban sat down in despair and covered his face with his hands. "How can I cross the desert with no food and with a spent horse? I must return to Babylon, sell my sapphire, and buy camels and provisions for the journey. I may never overtake my friends. Only the merciful God knows whether or not I shall lose my purpose because I tarried to show mercy." Several days later, when Artaban arrived in Bethlehem, the streets were deserted. It was rumored that Herod was sending soldiers, presumably to enforce some new tax, and the men of the city had taken their flocks into the hills beyond his reach. The door of one of the dwellings was open, and Artaban could hear a mother singing a lullaby to her child. He entered and introduced himself. The woman told him that it was now the third day since the three wise men had appeared in Bethlehem. They had found Joseph and Mary and the young child and had laid their gifts at his feet. They had gone as mysteriously as they had come. Joseph had taken his wife and the babe that same night and secretly fled. It was whispered that they were going far away into Egypt. As Artaban listened, the baby reached up with its dimpled hand and touched his cheek and smiled. His heart warmed at the touch. Then suddenly, outside there arose a wild confusion of sounds. Women were shrieking. There was a desperate cry heard. "The soldiers of Herod are killing the children!" Artaban went to the doorway. A band of soldiers came hurrying down the street. The captain approached the door to thrust Artaban aside. But Artaban did not stir. His face was calm, as though he were still watching the stair. Finally, his outstretched hand revealed a giant ruby. He said, "I am wanting to give this jewel to the prudent captain who will go on his way and leave this house alone." The captain, amazed at the splendor of the gem, took it and said to the men, "March on, there are no children here." Then Artaban prayed, "O God, forgive me my sin. I have spent for men that which was meant for God. Shall I ever be worthy to see the face of the king?" But the voice of the woman, weeping for joy in the shadows behind him, said softly, "Thou hast saved my life and the life of my little one. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee and give thee peace." Artaban, still following the king, went on to Egypt, seeking everywhere for traces of the little family that had fled before him. For many years, we follow Artaban in his search. We see him at the pyramids. We see him in Alexandria taking counsel with a Hebrew rabbi who told him to seek the king not among the rich, but among the poor. He passed through countries where famine lay heavy, and the poor were crying for bread. He made his dwelling in plague-stricken cities. He visited the oppressed and afflicted in prison. He searched the crowded slave markets, and though he found no one to worship, he found many to serve. As the years passed, he fed the hungry, clothed the naked, healed the sick, and comforted the captive. 33 years had now passed since Artaban began his search. His hair was white as snow. He knew his life's end was near, but he was still desperate with the hope that he would find the king, that he had come for the last time to Jerusalem. And it was the season of Passover, and the city was thronged with strangers. Artaban inquired where they were going. One answered, "We are going to see the execution on Golgotha outside the city walls. Two robbers are going to be crucified, and with them another called Jesus of Nazareth, who had done many wonderful works among the people. He claims to be the Son of God, and the priests and elders have said that he must die. Pilate sent him to the cross." How strangely these familiar words fell upon the tired heart of Artaban. They had led him over a lifetime, over sea and land, and now they came to him like a message of despair. The king had been denied and cast out. Perhaps he was already dying. Could he be the same one for whom the star had appeared 33 years before? Artaban's heart beat loudly within him. He thought, "It may be that I shall yet find the king and be able to ransom him from death by giving him the treasure to his enemies." But as Artaban started toward Calvary, he saw a troop of soldiers coming down the street, dragging a sobbing young woman. As Artaban paused, she broke away from her tormentors and threw herself at his feet, her arms clasped around his knees. "Have pity on me," she cried, "and save me. My father was also Magi, but he is dead. I am to be sold as a slave to pay his debt." Artaban trembled as he felt the conflict arising in his soul. It was the same as he experienced in the palm grove of Babylon, in the cottage at Bethlehem. Twice the gift which he had consecrated to the king had been drawn from his hand to the service of humanity. Would he now fail again? One thing was clear: he must rescue this helpless child from evil. He took the pearl and laid it in the hand of the girl and said, "Daughter, this is the ransom. It is the last of my treasures which I had hoped to keep for the king." When he spoke, the darkness of the sky thickened, and the shuddering tremors of an earthquake ran through the ground. The house rocked. The soldiers fled in terror. Artaban sank beside a protecting wall. What had he to fear? What had he to hope for? He had given away the last of his tribute to the king. The quest was over, and he had failed. What else mattered? The earthquake quivered beneath him. A heavy tile shaken from a roof fell and struck him, and he lay breathless and pale. Then there came a still small voice through the twilight. It was like distant music. The rescued girl leaned over him and heard him say, "Not so, my lord. For when saw I thee, hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink, and when I saw thee in sick and in prison and came to thee, 33 years I have looked for thee, but I have never seen thy face, nor ministered under my king." The sweet voice came again, "Verily I say unto thee, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, thou hast done it to me." A calm radiance of wonder and joy lighted the face of Artaban as one long last breath exhaled gently from his lips. His journey was ended, his treasure accepted. The other wise man had found the king. The story of the fourth wise man reminds us that the true worship of Jesus is about sacrificially serving the least of these. So may we learn the lesson of the fourth wise man, and may we follow his example, following Jesus by serving the least of these in our time and in our community. And may God bless this message to our hearing. Amen.